Ever since the Iranian Revolution and the hostage crisis of 1979, the U.S. and Iran have been at odds with each other. The distrust that exists between the two nations has played a role in a lot of geopolitical events over the last 30 years. That tension remains today in key issues like nuclear negotiations with Iran, which have just been prolonged for another 4 months.
The tone of U.S.-Iran relations has a significant effect on the Middle East and the rest of the world, particularly on issues like the ongoing availability of energy resources, the escalating extremism in the region, Israeli-Palestinian conflict resolution, and the crises in Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon.
What's the cause of the ongoing rift between Iran and the U.S.? How will it affect key events going forward? How can the two sides come together to work toward increased stability and peace in the region?
Sayed Hossein Mousavian is with us now. He grew up in Iran and served as former Iranian ambassador to Germany and as Iran's nuclear negotiator. He's now a researcher at Princeton University. His latest book is Iran and the United States, an insider's view on the failed past and the road to peace. Ambassador Mousavian, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon.
Well, the U.S. and Iran have been at odds for over three decades now. What would you say lies at the root of this mistrust on both sides?
Actually, the mistrust is mutual. Americans, they do not trust Iran because of the events like 1979 hostage crisis. They believe Iranians are supporting the militant group deemed a terrorist by the U.S. They believe Iran is provoking anti-Americanism. They are afraid of Iran's role and influence in the region. On the issues like terrorism, weapons of mass destruction, Arab-Israeli peace process, these are major issues. Americans, they do not trust Iran. Iranians also, they have almost 60 years of history mistrusting the U.S., beginning from 1953. CIA backed a coup d'etat, ousting a very popular democratically elected prime minister. And then the U.S. Installed a dictator, a very corrupted dictator, supported for 25 years. Even after revolution, right after revolution, Saddam Hussein invaded Iran, killing or injuring over 1 million people. The U.S. supported the aggressor, Saddam Hussein. Saddam used chemical weapons, 100,000 Iranians, they were killed. Unfortunately, the U.S. provided material and technology for Saddam Hussein attacking Iran by chemical weapons, or downing Iranian passenger flights, killing 292 passengers, all type of sanctions, pressures, even sabotage against Iranian nuclear program, assassination of nuclear scientists. They have a long list of reasons to mistrust each other.
And how does that legacy of mistrust, founded in many cases, as you say, impact the issues at hand today?
I think right after election, we had a very good beginning when the two foreign ministers, John Kerry and Javad Zarif, they met each other. Then we had multiple meetings at the level of deputy ministers. And for the first time, Iran and the U.S. experienced, if they sit together in a good way, with goodwill, and discuss very sincerely and openly their views on one of the most delicate and complicated international issues, which is the nuclear, they can find a way to resolve. And fortunately, after just 3-4 months of direct high-level talks, we had interim deal between Iran and the world powers. We could only reach the interim deal because of direct talks between Iran and the U.S. We failed 10 years of nuclear negotiation only because we didn't have direct talks between Iran and the U.S. Therefore, this is a very good experience, a very good legacy for Iran and the U.S. to sit together, to negotiate. For the way forward, I believe we need to immediately resolve the nuclear issue. The good news is that Iranians, it is now very clear for America and for American negotiation team that Iranians are ready to comply at the maximum level of transparency and cooperation with the International Atomic Energy Organization. And therefore, they need to resolve the nuclear issue immediately and then to have a comprehensive package, a comprehensive dialogue with step-by-step approach. I mean, they need to negotiate on all the issues, on Iraq crisis, Syrian crisis, Afghanistan crisis, drug trafficking, many other issues. However, they need to have a phased approach practically.
You say that these issues, in particular, the nuclear negotiations need to be resolved quickly and that we are in a good place in terms of transparency on the Iranian side. But on the American side, there is criticism already that transparency is not the same thing as a concession and that Iran is not giving up as much as it is getting. How does the U.S. walk that line?
Actually, Americans, they do not say exactly like this because on transparency measures, the members of Non-Proliferation Treaty, NPT, they all are members of Safeguard Agreement. But one-third of the countries internationally, they have not signed to the other protocols, like additional protocol, which gives additional inspection, like Subsidiary Arrangement Code 3.1, which gives more inspection. Now, Iran is ready to sign off with all protocols and arrangements which would give the maximum level of transparency internationally, because the other arrangements like additional protocol is voluntarily. Two-thirds of international countries, they have accepted. One-third, they have not. 80 countries, they do not implement additional protocol. Therefore, this would be a concession. More. Yeah, Americans and the IAEA, International Atomic Energy Organization, they are asking Iran for a period, even access beyond non-proliferation treaty. And Iranians, they have shown they are ready for a specific period as a confidence building to give access beyond additional protocol, beyond NPT.
I want to move on and look at the situation with Iraq and how it affects the United States and Iran. What would you say Iran's long-term objectives are when it comes to dealing with Iraq?
See, for a decade, despite of all hostilities Iran and the U.S. they have had during last 35 years, in last decades, on issue like Iraq, despite of all animosity between Tehran and Washington, they both have supported the same government. And the U.S. allies in the region, they have challenged Maliki government in Iraq. Tehran and Washington, they have been in the same side, one. And another issue, Afghanistan, is exactly the same. For a decade, Tehran and Washington, they have supported the same government in Afghanistan. And the U.S. allies, they have challenged Karzai, supporting Taliban and extremists in Iraq and in Afghanistan. There is a great amount of understanding now between Tehran and Washington that the rising the threat of terrorism from the Middle East is going to bring the Middle East to a total collapse. And this is the most important threat to the national security and interests of Europe, U.S., Iran, and even the regional countries. And here the U.S. and Iran, they have common interests to cooperate to fight terrorism. They have a very good experience, historical experience, when in 2001, Iran and the U.S. shaked hand and jointly, shoulder by shoulder, they fought against terrorism, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, and they removed Taliban from Afghanistan. This is a very good example how Iran and the U.S., they can cooperate. And little by little, I think Tehran and Washington now they understand, although they have differences, but they have many issues of common interest communalities.
And we have to leave it there. Ambassador Mousavian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
That was Sayed Hossein Mousavian, former Iranian ambassador to Germany and former Iranian nuclear negotiator. His latest book is called Iran and the United States, an insider's view on the failed past and the road to peace.